What's up, man? All right, guys, today's video is titled Napoleon Bonaparte is Proof Muslims Are Scumbags. So, I was gonna do a video about Andrew Tate being released, and Andrew Tate is doing the same tactics Napoleon Bonaparte is doing when Napoleon Bonaparte was able to conquer Egypt. He didn't conquer Egypt because he was better at military tactics, but because he got the people to actually believe that he was a fellow Muslim. So when I was doing my research about Napoleon Bonaparte, it's so freaking obvious that the Muslims are scumbags that I just had to do this video for you. So this is on a website called alhakam.org. Apparently it's a Muslim website, and I'm gonna link the address for you in the comment section. That way you guys out there can look at this article yourself. Now I'm going to go over most parts of the article. I'm not going to go over everything. You guys can read it on your own. We're just going to go over the highlights of the article that will give you 100% proof Muslims are scumbag. So just to give you an overview of what's going on, Napoleon Bonaparte was embraced by the Egyptian people simply because he did what Andrew Tate did, which is, oh, Muhammad is great, I love Allah, when in reality he was mocking you Muslim retards. So let's go over this article. So Napoleon Bonaparte, when he went to Egypt, he wanted to invade Egypt. He knew he couldn't defeat Egypt militarily, so he claimed to have become a Muslim. So one of the things you guys need to understand about Napoleon, even though Napoleon was a very, very short man, I think he was like, what, 5'2", 5'3", the guy was high IQ, he was cunning, he was a sociopath, he was a narcissist. Pretty much he was Andrew Tate, but with hair and maybe a foot shorter than him. Alright, guys, so Napoleon had a copy of the Quran, the Vedas, which I think might be Indian, don't know, don't care, the Torah and the Bible. So obviously he is a man who studies. Again, high IQ people, whether it's Andrew Tate, Napoleon, they study. These are not stupid idiots who show up and yellow. All right. In the account of Napoleon's military expedition to Egypt, it is written that Napoleon spent his time in the management of Egypt and the modification of the empire and managed the affairs of Egypt in such a way that the inhabitants were soon blessed with peace and comfort, which the populace was unacquainted with for a prolonged period. Okay. Napoleon adopted the Turkish dress to win the hearts of the inhabitants of Egypt, but then, seeing that his chiefs humored his act, he eventually abandoned it. So pretty much what it's saying, guys, is that Napoleon wanted the Egyptian people to embrace him, so he decided to start dressing like him. And then when his own French people started making fun of him by dressing like him, aka dressing the same way the Egyptian people did, he eventually said, F it, I'm gonna go back to what I like to dress. Napoleon adopted the attire of the Muslims and supported them. Later, when he arrived in St. Helena, he said Egypt was in every way worthy of his wearing the attire embraced by Muslims. Now, guys, you need to understand this. These quotes are by different people, different magazines, different articles. You guys need to understand that Napoleon, there was a real Napoleon, and then there was a Napoleon that Napoleon wanted you to see, okay? So we are getting information from different people, different sources, okay? Again, there's a real Napoleon, and then the Napoleon that Napoleon wanted you to see. Okay, let's continue. Almost all historians are convinced of the genius and cunning intelligence of Napoleon Bonaparte during the testing and difficult military campaign in Egypt. His stay there and the formulation of policy according to the needs and objectives of the country. There, Napoleon attributed the reason for his adopting the Muslim attire to the conditions in Egypt and not to himself converting to Islam or having any kind of relation to the religion. So pretty much he dressed like the retards in Egypt, and even though he had nothing to do with the religion, if anything, he probably mocked the religion, the fact that he dressed like them, kind of like how Andrew Tate now has a beard, right? Let's continue. In connection to Napoleon's entry into Egypt, we find that he entered Cairo, Egypt on a June morning in 1798. He was accompanied by 36,000 troops. Napoleon had studied the history of Islam extensively before his campaign in Egypt and knew how to channel the emotions of the Muslims living there, and also learned some Arabic words to make him more agreeable to the locals. Kind of like how Sneeko says Alhamdulillah now, right? Again, these are high IQ people. They're narcissists. They're sociopaths. They themselves are scumbags. But because they're high IQ, they know how to take advantage of low IQ retards. Let's continue. Nope. Napoleon told his generals to fight what he called militancy by the Muslim. Whilst in Egypt, he invited 60 scholars of Al-Azhar to his military headquarters for a meal. After the meal, Napoleon began his address, in which it said he mentioned the greatness of Islam, its truths, and various aspects of the Holy Prophet. During the speech, whenever he mentioned the name of the Holy Prophet, he would bow slightly. So this is written in a Daily Express. Okay, it's a very good that the people who wrote this article are able to have sources. So damn it. So apparently what was said in this paragraph, guys, is that Napoleon Bonaparte, like Andrew Tate, Sneeko, and other manosphere scumbags, they learned a couple of words in Arabic. They talked about how great Muhammad is. They love Allah. How great Islam is. Just to win the people over. What's really sad here is that the scumbags at Al-Azhar actually met with this guy. That's what's really sad. At the end of the day, guys, it's not Andrew Tate, Sneeko, or even Napoleon Bonaparte I care about, because these people are going to do what they want to do as narcissist and sociopath. But the fact that Al-Azhar, which is the highest seat in Islam, actually sat down with this scumbag, that by itself is the main problem here. Let's continue. Before Napoleon returned from Egypt and became the ruler of France, it is recorded that whenever he went out, people would be eager to see him. Napoleon was very good at attracting people to his side. Kind of like how when Andrew Tate came out of prison, the Muslims were like, Masha'Allah, Alhamdulillah. You know, it's as if Muslims, for some reason, want to be scammed. They want to be taken advantage of. You know, it's as if Muslims have Maradona al-Qalb. They have a disease of the heart. Let's continue. It is also recorded that Napoleon knew that his goals could be achieved by appealing to the emotions of people. Kind of like how Hamza, Sneeko, Andrew Tate appealed to the emotions of Muslims and incels out there. You know, we're here for you, boy. We want to see you succeed. You know, the system wants to bring you down. By the way, guys, thanks to a video that was uploaded by the Red Knight, do you guys know that Andrew Tate was released on March 31st, yesterday? And that was when the original Matrix was actually released in theaters. Guys, if that doesn't tell you fucking CIA, I don't know what will. Napoleon was also well aware of the importance of propaganda, so he publicized his achievements to the world in order to make himself appear extraordinary. Public opinion was manipulated in Napoleon's favor in such a way as to cement in the minds of the people that Napoleon was a savior. Kind of like how Andrew Tate puts all this information out there on TikTok, YouTube, all over the place. He has people out there supporting him. YouTube Muslim scumbags like Ali Dawah supporting him. These guys are all CIA assets, okay? Ali Dawah, Mahdi, whatever. All these Muslim scumbags who all of a sudden came out of nowhere. They got millions of followers. They're all CIA assets. They're all scumbags. I'm telling you guys this. Any Muslim out there who supports Andrew Tate, at best, they are an ignoramus and a retard like most Muslims, or they're just flat out CIA assets. Okay, you cannot be a Muslim and support Andrew Tate, period. Let's continue. On the other hand, many of Napoleon's military campaigns after his return from Egypt and then as King of France clearly oppose and go against the idea that he accepted Islam and became a Muslim. His decisions and personal actions seem to be the opposite of the lifestyle of a true Muslim. Without going into its details here, only a few issues of the expeditions of Napoleon Bonaparte are being mentioned as a sample. All right, this is exactly like Andrew Tate. You know, Andrew Tate sold pussy. He's doing the whole gambling stuff. You know, Andrew Tate's entire existence is haram. Yet you guys, you Muslim retards, are so desperate to have a non-Muslim like Andrew Tate accept your religion that you're willing to say, oh, Allah forgave him everything. Oh yeah, that's like a white girl who becomes Muslim and all of a sudden the pussy odometer goes down from 1,000,000 miles back to 0 miles because she said, I love Allah. Ooh, ooh. Let's continue. After the invasion of Egypt and gaining a little foothold there, Napoleon set out against Syria. It is written that Napoleon left Egypt and attacked Syria merely for military success. There, to encourage his troops before a difficult attack, he called for the Bible, and by reading passages from the book of Joshua, he raised the spirits of his weary and discouraged army and incited them to a fierce battle. So not only is this sociopath Napoleon Bonaparte manipulating stupid Muslims, he's also manipulating his own troops just so he can have a military success, you know, just for fun. Kind of like how the US government, you know, plays the anthem and waves the flag so you guys can go die for dirty Jews. Amazing. Let's continue. During his expedition to Syria, he ordered the execution of all prisoners of Jaffa. 3,000 horsemen had surrendered themselves to Napoleon generals at Alania on the condition that their lives be spared. Yet, despite being aware of this promise, Napoleon ordered to have them all executed. These unfortunate prisoners were showered with bullets on the banks of the river. Their bones lay on the ground for several days. The Jaffa massacre proved to be damaging to Napoleon's reputation throughout Europe at the time. You Muslim retards out there, don't ever trust Christians and Jews who have taken themselves as allies. It says so right in the Quran, guys. Those who take the Christians and the Jews who have taken themselves as allies, you are no longer protected by God. These 3,000 horsemen who surrender... These 3,000 horsemen who surrendered to Napoleon Bonaparte, okay, they are no longer protected by God. Napoleon Bonaparte was controlled by the Rothschild family. Let's continue. With the then growing resistance in Syria and back in Egypt, Napoleon ordered raiding the siege in Syria. As a result, Napoleon's soldiers committed many atrocities. They burnt ready crops and committed atrocities which would have surely been known to Napoleon, and even if he was unaware, it was a shortcoming on his part as the army chief. So they pretty much looted, murdered, raped, you know, all the good stuff that militaries do. In Egypt, Napoleon had left his wounded generals and exhausted soldiers to die in the desert and showed no sympathy to them despite their repeated pleas. As for the wounded chiefs who were initially carried by the soldiers, Napoleon ordered them to be thrown to the ground. So this just goes to show you guys that sociopaths like Napoleon Bonaparte, they don't care about their own kind. You know, just because they don't care about Muslims doesn't mean that they actually care about you. You know, the Zionist controlled US government, you know, they went after Muslims 20 years ago. Now they're coming after white people. Guys, the US government, on behalf of their Zionist masters, they will go after their own kind, and they don't give a flying fuck, okay? Let's continue. In one case, during his return to Cairo, an epidemic struck the French army. Napoleon ordered the killing of his soldiers under treatment in the Jaffa hospital. Such drastic steps do not represent any true Muslim leader. Again, this guy killed his own kind. He didn't have any mercy. He simply didn't care. This is how you know you are dealing with an evil sociopath narcissist. Let's continue. Historians allege that after witnessing a weakening government in France, Napoleon secretly left Egypt with the intention of usurping the French throne, leaving his forces in ruin. He withdrew secretly with a few men. Again, he doesn't care about his own people. It's all about him, him, him. Let's continue. These historical accounts show that Napoleon could not have converted to Islam, as his actions were far from Islamic teachings. Kind of like Sneeko and Andrew Tate. Let's continue. Those who believe Napoleon converted to Islam during his military campaign in Egypt argue that in David Pitcock's book Satanic Voices, Ancient and Modern, it is written that a government newspaper, Le Moniteur, had published that Napoleon accepted Islam in 1798. The newspaper said his new Islamic name was Ali Napoleon Bonaparte. It was said that Napoleon also told his commander, Jacques-François de Menou, about this, and he too converted to Islam and changed his name to Abdallah de Menou. The same general later married an Egyptian woman, Siti Zubaydah, who was said to belong to the family of the Prophet of Islam, the newspaper stated that Napoleon not only acknowledged the virtues of Islamic Sharia himself, but was also willing to implement them throughout his empire. Okay, notice that this was written by a government newspaper called Le Moniteur in 1798. This is propaganda by the Rothschild family claiming that Napoleon got a Muslim name, same thing with his top general, and that he married a family member of the Prophet. Okay, here's what you guys need to understand, man. The Prophet Muhammad had no male sons, okay? Lineage is by Bizrat al-Ab, the seed of the father. That's where the lineage comes from. The Prophet Muhammad has no lineage. Nobody out there can claim to be the descendant of Muhammad. Muhammad had no male sons who had children. All of Prophet Muhammad's male sons died at an early age. No human being can claim to be a descendant of Muhammad. All this stuff over here, guys, this is all propaganda written by the Jewish Rothschild in Le Moniteur to get retarded Muslims to believe in this scammer on Napoleon. Coincidentally, guys, do not be surprised at all if Andrew Tate takes on a Muslim name like Ali or Abdullah, you know. Let's continue. Further, it is recorded that Napoleon spent the last days of his life as a captive in St. Helena, where he revealed his thoughts and outlook on life. A book titled The Thoughts of the Prisoner of the Island of St. Helena was published after his death. This is a period when Napoleon, after attaining all his glory as commander, was living the life of a mere prisoner. It is recorded that there Napoleon said, "The existence of one God was certain, but all religions were creations of mankind." So again, just your typical person who really didn't care about religion. Moving on. Similarly, the following saying of Napoleon are found from which some people infer he was a Muslim. It is recorded that Napoleon said, "Moses has revealed the existence of God to his nation, Jesus Christ to the Roman world, Muhammad to the old continent." Okay, now, you know, Jesus Christ, man, it's not like Jesus is his first name and Christ is his last name, okay? You know, Jesus the Christ, okay? Not Jesus Christ, you know, it's not first name, last name, you know, Jesus the Christ, you know. El Messiah ibn Maryam, that's what he's known as. Isa is known as, you know, Jesus in Islam is known as El Messiah ibn Maryam, the Messiah, son of Maryam, okay? So this whole Jesus Christ thing is not first, last name. This is all BS. Moving on. Arabia was idolatrous when 6 centuries after Jesus, Muhammad introduced the worship of the God of Abraham, of Ishmael, of Moses, and Jesus. The Arians and some other sects had disturbed the tranquility of the East by agitating the question of the nature of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Muhammad declared that there was none but one God who had no father, no son, and the Trinity imported the idea of idolatry, which is true, guys. There is no such thing as Father, Son, and, you know, the Holy Spirit. You know, this Trinity thing is untrue. There is only one God. Moving on. I hope the time is not far off when I shall be able to unite all the wise and educated men of all the countries and establish a uniform regime based on the principles of the Quran, which alone are true and which can lead men to happiness. So apparently Napoleon said this in in one of his, where did he say it? Again, guys, a lot of this stuff out there is, as you guys know, is propaganda. A lot of this stuff is Napoleon and his Zionist masters wanting you to believe a certain thing. So, of course, you know, they're going to lie and say, oh, Islam is great. Islam is amazing. So I think that's what's happening here. Moving on. The famous researcher and distinguished writer Allama Abdul Kalam Azad has written the following in Jami' al-Shawahad fi Daqul Qir al-Muslim fil Masjid. Okay, so this is in Arabic. It's talking about non-Muslims are going to the Masjid, aka the mosque. And by the way, guys, the reason why the masjid is called the mosque is because when Napoleon Bonaparte went in Egypt, he said they were gonna ruin their mosques like a mosquito. So you know how somebody, you know, slaps a mosquito? This is why the masjid is called a mosque in English, because we're gonna destroy them like a mosquito. Moving on. When Napoleon Bonaparte invaded Egypt and conquered it, and it was occupied by the French for 2.5 years, Napoleon himself and most of the officers of the army accepted Islam in the Azhar Mosque, participated in Friday prayers, and also adopted Islamic names. However, the French army was considered to be Christian and would often enter the mosques. A discussion started on this, whether non-Muslims should be allowed to come to the mosques or not. Some Maliki scholars of Al-Azhar said it was not permissible, but Sheikh Abdul Rahman Al-Jabrati in Tariqh Ajab Al-Asr has written a special magazine and confirmed that within the Maliki school of thought, the permission of a non-Muslim entering a mosque can be granted if a Muslim permits a non-Muslim. Therefore, Christians should not enter without the permissions of Muslims. They can enter the mosque with the concession of respect and reverence. The entire incident was written by Sheikh Abdullah al-Sharkawi in Tuhfat al-Nazareen, who was Sheikh al-Azhar at the time, but I do not have the said book at the moment. Alright, guys, so as you guys know, I'm Jewish by lineage. Guys, not anybody can walk into a synagogue, okay? You can only be members of that synagogue, and very seldom will they allow a non-member to walk into that synagogue. Personally, when a non-Muslim or even a person outside of our community walks into our mosque, I'm immediately suspicious of that person. You know, you have to be Muslim and you have to call ahead. That way we know that you're not some traitor, you're not some murderer, you're not some weird person coming into our mosque. Because again, as a Jew, I'm a firm believer that only members of the mosque should come in, and outsiders need to ask permission to come in. This is how I operate. I don't believe that outsiders, let alone non-Muslims, should go in and out of the mosque as they as they wish. Moving on. The promised Messiah describes the merits and superiority of Islam and says that the secret to the success and advancement of Islam was the people would naturally be attracted to the words and messages of the Holy Prophet, because the message was so simple and clear, so much so that even Napoleon is claimed by some authors to have testified to its simplicity and accepted Islam. Again, mind you guys, all this is propaganda put out by Napoleon and his Jewish masters, okay? And all this is propaganda, just like there's propaganda about Andrew Tate out there, how he loves Islam. However, when we look deeper into the alleged conversion of Napoleon, we can understand why some of these authors may have made the claim about his conversion. Let's keep on going. Louis Antoinette Favrilich, a French diplomat, is famous for his memoirs of Napoleon Bonaparte, a work based on years of intimate friendship and professional association. In that work, he writes, okay, so this is somebody who is an intimate friend and historian and pretty much a biographer of Napoleon Bonaparte, and this is what he writes. It has been alleged that Bonaparte, when in Egypt, took part in the religious ceremonies and worship of the Muslims, but it cannot be said that he celebrated the festivals of the overflowing of the Nile and the anniversary of the Prophet. Overflowing the anniversary of the Nile and the Prophet, those are meaningless, guys. There are only two holidays in Islam. The Eid following the end of Ramadan, and then, you know, the Eid a couple of months later, where we slaughter sheep in place of slaughtering Ishmael. But there is no anniversary of Muhammad or anniversary of freaking overflowing the Nile. Let's continue. The Turks invited him to these merely as a spectator, and the presence of their new master was gratifying to the people, but he never committed the following of ordering any solemnity. He neither learned nor repeated any prayer of the Quran, as many persons have asserted. Neither did he advocate fatalism, polygamy, or any other doctrine of the Quran. Bonaparte himself employed himself better than in discussing with the imams the theology of the children of Ishmael. The ceremonies at which policy induced him to be present were to him and to all who accompany him mere matters of curiosity. He never set foot in a mosque, and only on one occasion, which I shall hereafter mention, Mohammedan costume, he attended the festivals to which the green turbans invited him. His religious tolerance was a natural consequence of his philosophic spirit. So pretty much this guy took Islam and the idiot Muslims as a plaything, and he was pretty much mocking them. Mohammedan costume. Mohammedan was a very, very derogatory name for Muslims. It's kind of like for the Prophet Muhammad. This is like calling a black person a nigger, pretty much. You know, when you call a Muslim a Muslim man, and you call Muhammad Mohatman, that's like calling a black person a nigger. So this is what the French thought of Islam and the Muslims and Muhammad, niggers. Let's continue. Doubtless, Bonaparte did, as he was bound to do, show respect for the religion of the country, and he found it necessary to act more like a Muslim man than a Catholic. A wise conqueror supports his triumphs by protecting and even elevating the religion of the conquered people. Bonaparte's principle was, as he himself has often told me, to look upon religions as the work of men, but to respect them everywhere as a powerful engine of government. However, I will not go as far as to say that he would not have changed his religion had the conquest of the East been the price of that change. All that he said about Muhammad, Islamism, and the Quran to the great men of the country, he laughed at himself. Let me repeat that one more time. All that he said about Muhammad, Islamism, and the Quran to the great men of the country, he laughed at himself. He enjoyed the gratification of having all his fine sayings on the subjects of religion translated into Arabic poetry and repeated from mouth to mouth. This, of course, tended to conciliate the people. There you go, guys. It's written right there. Napoleon Bonaparte, that you Muslims looked up to, you worshipped, he was laughing at Muhammad, Allah, and you. It's written right there, guys. Right there. From a guy who personally knew Bonaparte, who was an intimate friend of Bonaparte. It's written right there. All that he said about Muhammad, Islamism, and the Quran to the great men of the country, he laughed at himself. Napoleon Bonaparte, like Sneeko, like Andrew Tate, they tell you how Islam is great and beautiful and Islam is the solution, but yet they laugh at you, they mock you, just like Napoleon Bonaparte. Let's continue. I confessed that Bonaparte frequently conversed with the chiefs of the Muslimin religion on the subject of his conversion, but only for the sake of amusement. So he was pretty much having fun. He is kind of like how Andrew Tate has fun with you idiots out there, and then you all signed up to join Hustlers University. He's just having fun. The priest of the Quran, who would probably have been delighted to convert us, offered us the most ample concessions, but these conversations were merely started by way of entertainment and never could have warranted a supposition of their leading to any serious result. If Bonaparte spoke as a Muslim man, it was merely in his character of a military and political chief in a Muslimin country. To do so was essential to his success, to the safety of his army, and consequently to his glory. In every country, he would have drawn up proclamations and delivered the address of the same principle. In India, he would have been for Ali, at Tibet for the Dalai Lama, and in China for Confucius. There you go, guys. It's written right there in front of you from Napoleon Bonaparte's friend and biographer. Not only was Napoleon Bonaparte taking Islam as a mockery and a laughing thing, which Islam tells us about in Surah Al-Baqarah, but the Muslims were so desperate that they offered them ample concessions, such as, oh, you don't have to stop drinking alcohol. Oh, you can do whatever you want. Kind of like how you Muslims are telling Andrew Tate, Andrew, you can still sell pussy. You can still do the whole alcohol. You can still do the whole gambling thing. Just tell us you like Islam so we can feel good about ourselves. You Muslims are sad and pathetic scumbags. You guys out there, man, try to get your hands on this book, you know. See if you guys can go on Amazon and get this book. You guys can see this. See if you guys can get your hands on this book. I would like to read this book. On the subject of Napoleon's alleged conversion to Islam, Boriani also quotes Bonaparte from his Voices from St. Helena, in which he wrote, "I never followed any of the tenets of that religion, never prayed in the mosque, I never abstained from wine, or was I circumcised. Neither did I ever profess it. I said merely that we were the friends of the Muslims and that I respected Muhammad, their prophet, which was true. I respect him now. I wanted to make the imams cause prayers to be offered up in the mosques for me in order to make the people respect me still more than they actually did and obey me more readily." This is kind of like how you retarded Muslims out there are praying for Andrew Tate. It's like how many Palestinians were murdered in the past couple of days, and yet you guys care about Andrew Tate. Come on, man. I mean, these people, these Jews and their goy minions, they've been running game on you Muslim retards for well over 200 years, and you guys keep on falling for it over and over and over again. Let's continue. He goes on to say that he asked the Muslim clerics if he could be a Muslim without following any of Islam's tenets. The clerics deliberated for months, and only when they agreed to his becoming a Muslim without having to actually profess or follow Islam. He states, "I then told them that we were all Muslims and friend of the prophets," which they really believed it. Can you imagine that, guys? The top clerics from Al-Azhar told Napoleon, "You can just call yourself a Muslim, buddy. You don't have to do anything. You can continue living life as is. Just please, 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 please say you're a Muslim so we can feel good about our inferior selves." See, this is why you Muslims out there are getting murdered and thrown out of your homes, you know. You know, the Palestinians get murdered by the Jews and they want to be accepted by the Jews even more. You know, the Iraqis, the Arabs, they get blown up by the Americans and they want to be accepted by the Americans even more. This is proof that you Muslims really are scumbags. I never ever saw anybody who can get treated so bad, yet they want to join the enemy even more. When I, Amr Mitwali, do DoorDash and a customer gives me a lip, I call up DoorDash and I tell him, "Yo man, don't ever send me to that address again, and I will never ever have to see that person again in my life." But you Muslim scumbags out there, the more somebody mistreats you, the more somebody harms you, the more you want to be accepted by them. It's written right there, guys. You can see it with your own eyes. I'm going to link you this article right here, guys. This is divine proof that you Muslims are really scumbags. Almost done. Continue. Let's continue. "Thus, just as many famous scholars like Sir George Bernard Shaw, Bertrand Russell, Dr. William Draper, Thomas Carlyle, Philip Hitti praised Islam and the founder of Islam, so too we find some phrases of praises by Napoleon Bonaparte praising Islam. However, it is more reasonable to assume that his conversion may have been no more than a political strategy." Gee, you think? Obviously, you know, these people who praise Islam, they do it because they know that you Muslims are so inferior, that you're so desperate for people to accept you, pathetic losers. This is why they praise Islam, because they're making a mockery of you, Muhammad, and Allah. All right, guys, almost done. Let's continue. This will be the last one over here. "The list of those who bear witness and praised the greatness of the founder of Islam, the Holy Prophet, is far too many to count, as it is written that during the blessed life of the Holy Prophet himself, the Emperor of Rome, Caesar, said, 'If I could reach him, I definitely would go immediately to meet him, and if I were with him, I would certainly wash his feet.'" Okay, the Byzantine Empire was not Rome, okay? The emperor was not, okay, the emperor was not the Caesar of Rome. The Byzantine Empire was not Rome, okay? Alright, so let's read the last paragraph here. "Thus, after researching various books and references along with other available evidence, we once again recall the words of Hazrat Khalifat al-Masih with regards to Napoleon being a Muslim. It is claimed he was a Muslim. However, it doesn't seem likely." You think? Kind of like Andrew Tate and Sneaku being Muslims. They're just mocking you retards and making money off of you, you know. Hamza's making $400 a month selling you a fucking scam course, which is pretty much a Facebook private page. He's making $400 a month because he says, oh man, the Quran is so good. Andrew Tate, you know, he claims to read the Quran in jail, and you guys are just giving him your money for Hustlers University. Unbelievable, guys. Unbelievable how scumbag you Muslim people are. You know what? Deep down, you Muslim people, you hate Allah. You hate Muhammad. You know, at least your women are more real than you, you know. See, there's a reason why Muslim women out there are the biggest whores on the face of the planet. It's because they're showing us in no uncertain terms that they hate Muhammad. They hate Allah. You Muslim men out there, you're fucking hypocrites. You're fucking hypocrites. You're all about, oh Allah, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. Yet your women out there are riding the cock carousel, you know. Whenever Fresh and Fit get these hijabis on, you know, these Muslim hijabis from Saudi Arabia, from Egypt, from Morocco, fucking the white girl, the black girl, the Latina, fucking Becky, Yolanda, and fucking Jennifer Lopez, they're like, damn, this bitch a turbo thought, you know? And again, your women are more real than you are. Your women hate Muhammad and Allah, and they make it very known that they hate Islam. You Muslim guys out there, you're fucking hypocrites. All of, well, I don't want to say all of you, but let's be honest, 99% of the Muslim, 99% of the followers of Muhammad are fucking scumbag. You guys were scumbags 200 years ago, you're scumbags today. And you don't learn, and you don't learn. Why? Because you suffer from Mardun al-Alb. You suffer from a disease of the heart. Why do you guys want that scumbag Napoleon to lead over you? You Muslims back in the 1700s, you could have taken over fucking Europe, you know, if you wanted to. But you didn't. That's a you problem. Again, at the end of the day, 99% of Muslims out there hate Islam. They hate Allah. They hate Muhammad. Yet they don't become Christians, they don't become Jews, because they know they're not good enough to be Christians. They're not good enough to become Jews. This is why you guys want some scumbag like Andrew Tate or Sneeko to become one of you guys. Because you guys want to say, oh, look at how great we are. Andrew Tate is one of us. Oh, look, Sneeko is one of us. Aren't we Muslims great? But deep down, you guys hate Muhammad. You hate Allah. And the only reason you guys don't come out and say, oh, well, I'm a Christian now. Well, I'm a Jew now, is because you guys know you're not good enough to be Christians. You're not good enough to be Jews, okay? So at the end of the day, guys, I read you this article. I'm gonna link this article for you, God willing. Everything you guys need to know that Muslims are scumbags, it's written right here. At the end of the day, guys, I ain't got beef with Napoleon. I ain't got beef with Andrew Tate. I ain't got beef with Hamza. I ain't got beef with fucking Sneeko either. It's you Muslim scumbags out there who are so desperate to have other people say, oh yeah, Muhammad is great, I love Allah, Islam is the solution. Why can't you guys just leave Islam? Just become atheist, guys, you know? If you Muslims become atheist, it doesn't mean you're a Christian, it doesn't mean you're a Jew. Just become atheist. You Muslim guys out there, just become atheist. That way you no longer have to worry about what people think of you anymore, okay? When you become an atheist, you're like a free agent, you know? You become a free agent when you become an atheist. So all of you Muslim scumbags out there, deep down, you're ashamed of Muhammad, Allah, and Islam. Just become an atheist. All right, guys, so that's my video for you today. I'll be making that video about Andrew Tate, God willing, tomorrow. But going by what you guys see here today in this video that I just did for you, this is fucking divine proof. This is divine proof right here that Muslims are scumbags and narcissist, sociopath like Napoleon, Sneeko, Andrew Tate are taking advantage of the inferiority of Muslims. At the end of the day, guys, just like Napoleon was a great general because he took over Egypt, at the end of the day, fucking Andrew Tate, Sneeko, and Hamza are going to be multi-millionaires. You know, Andrew Tate is already a multi-millionaire, but these guys are going to be richer than ever simply because they said, oh, I love Muhammad, I love I love Muhammad, I love Allah, I love the Quran. And before I end this video, I'm really losing my voice here. I'm really losing my voice. Okay, what are we doing? Rental business. Okay. When was the original Matrix released? Matrix released. All right, guys. The original Matrix was released on March 31st, the same day, which was actually a couple of hours ago, Florida time, okay? Andrew Tate was released on March 31st, 2023, the same day The Matrix was released in movie theaters. If you guys out there still think that Andrew Tate is not a fucking CIA asset, you fucking retarded at this point. So, all right, guys, that's the video I have for you. Like, share, comment, subscribe. I'm gonna see you the next one. Peace.